You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey, left. Come on, have a spritz.
You want to go embarrass yourself with this thing?
Embarrass myself? Hey, my family, my children, my mother can hold her head up in any neighborhood in the city where she walks down the block. See, in all the five boroughs, I'm known. Forget about it. I'm known all over the fucking world. Anybody ask anybody about Lefty from Mulberry Street.
Terrible gibberish. Splintered memories looming up out of the time fog. Just press play.
Tonight, any protester, any instigator, or agitator will be made example of.
This system makes of us slaves, without dignity, without debt.
We'll make you a millionaire while you're sitting here from 1 minute to the next.
What else would I do with myself?
So what makes you so high and mighty? Will you tell me that? Didn't you ever try looking at your own eyeballs in the mirror?
Why not me? Why not? A guy can get anything he wants as long as he pays the price.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, welcome to episode 157 of Cinema Crespediso. The second episode of the new year, second episode of our third year of the show in existence. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Thanks for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. If you got here through chriscrespo.com, that's very cool. If you listen on Stitcher Radio, rate us and review. Same thing on iTunes. You can rate us and review us there. That would help us out a lot. With me, as always, co-host Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, dude?
How you doing?
How's it going?
Doing good. I'm just noticing your shirt right now. Who's that lady on your shirt?
It's my Fallout shirt. It's a lady in the Fallout suit, and she's got it's called a Fat Man. It launches, quote-unquote, mini nukes. So they're giant nuclear bombs. So
and that's why there's a Russian club behind her.
Yeah, so it's like a hot vault girl with the Fat Man.
Hot vault girl? Mm-hmm. Hot vault girl. That's the name of my 80s Hall & Oates cover band. We are Hot Vault Girl.
Yeah, it's I got it from the Bethesda store.
From the Bethesda store?
Yeah, the guys who made it.
Is that next to the Apple store?
Yes, except only online.
Oh. True. I'm just looking at that shirt and I say, oh, it's fresh. It's mm-hmm. so fresh and so clean. Well, you were not here the last time this guest was on, Drew. You guys meet and you're ready. You got a donut.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the deal.
Donuts are awesome.
There's more donuts there.
It's tradition.
It is new tradition. It's the best tradition. Quickly jumping to the top of our list of favorite guests. She is back, ladies and gentlemen. From AmyDrewThompson.com, the one and only Amy Drew Thompson. How you doing, Amy Drew?
I am so excited to be back.
Thanks for coming back. We appreciate it.
I love it.
It's been a few months. You came last time in October.
That needs to be tradition, too.
Yeah. The Halloween.
Any excuse to talk about The Thing and Cronenberg.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I'll come back with a list next time.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Steve Etchy sat in with us on that show.
Very fun.
So we all had a good time. Shout out to Etchy.
His love of Sandra Bullock.
He loves Sandra Bullock so much.
Cute.
It's amazing how much he loves
cute.
Her. While You Were Sleeping is one of his favorite movies.
What?
Aww.
Yeah, Drew.
So weird.
Isn't it crazy?
So sweet.
That is very strange.
He's a nice guy. Check out his new show, Tidbits. It's a lot of fun, where each show is a different little bits of tid from different people. Little stories and anecdotes. Drew told a very incriminating story in episode 2.
Yes, I did.
Might want to go check that out.
I'm going to go check that out now.
It's good. Tidbits.
It's interesting.
Good stuff on the Pfft Network. Pfft. I think that's what you're supposed to. So it's PFF.
T. How many Fs?
Three.
Only three. Are you sure about that?
With an exclamation point.
Okay.
Network. Right now it's just Tidbits. So he didn't pay for any of that. That's a free plug. Sponsoring the show, latestfilmtrailers.net. Go there for all the latest film trailers on the internet. And also drink the official beer of the show, Orange Blossom Pilsner from OBB. Great stuff. We had Tom the Beer Guy on last week.
We have a fridge full of it.
Yeah, we have a fridge full of it. Great guy, that Tom. Great guy.
Looks good.
It's delicious. If you like one at the break,
We have plenty.
We have different styles.
All right. This is going to be fun.
We got the Pilsner. We got the Vice Baby.
Yeah.
Got the Toasted Coconut Porter.
Back in the day IPA.
Back in the day IPA. So.
I have a lot to contemplate between now and the break.
You have options. So before we get there, we got to do the first half of the show. And the first half of the show always starts with the good old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. So let me play that theme song and we can get the show going. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is recapped, written down. Logged in at chriscrespo.com every week. You can always go there, check it out. Drew's giving us a thumbs up. Amy's choice is good. Amy Drew, please let us know, what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
It is The Nightmare.
Oh, snap. Documentary, The Nightmare.
Something we saw recently.
I believe you watched it with Billy D up in New York.
Yep.
And recommended that I check it out, which I did do.
It was very good.
And I put it in the Netflix.
It's creepy, man.
Randomizer 9000, because it's a good movie. Have you heard of the sleep paralysis phenomenon? Not even a phenomenon.
Sleep
medical condition.
Paralysis phenomenon. No, I have not.
It's a bummer.
Educate me, please.
So when people who sleepwalk, you got two chemicals. When you go to bed, when you go to sleep at night, there are two chemicals released in your body. One of them is the one that shuts your body down, right? And then the other one is the one that puts you to sleep, mm-hmm. right? That's the melatonin.
Whichever.
So, what the sleepwalking is when the chemical that's released that keeps you from moving around doesn't happen. So you're still sleeping, but you're acting out your dreams, right?
Somnambulism.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sleep paralysis is the opposite. When your body falls asleep and you get that paralysis feeling, but you're still conscious. You're still awake.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's where...
Metallica's One.
Yeah. Yes. It's Dalton Trumbo. Like,
that's where, you know, stories of Incubus and other strange creatures sitting
demons
on people's
and
chests,
stuff like that.
Demons. Sometimes like alien abductions
yes.
and whatnot.
When I was younger, teenager, something like that, before Google and whatnot, a cousin of mine told us a story about how, like, that night or very recently, he had woke up in the morning. He was awake, but he couldn't move. He couldn't move his body. He felt a weight on his chest, like something was holding him down. And he felt like there was a presence in the room, like an evil presence. And he was trying to wake himself up, and he was trying to move, and he couldn't do it. And growing up in a religious house, religious background, he went to the straight
Boom,
up.
Straight to the devil.
Yeah, like, this is the devil.
And do not pass go.
Yes.
Yeah. Do not collect $200.
Totally believe in it. Like,
Satan.
Like, this is some sort of demonic shit. And he was like, the power of Christ or whatever, like compels you. Some, you know, typical, but, yeah. you know, shouting some sort of prayer in his head. And then he did that a couple times and he got out of it. And at the time, I'm like, oh, that's a spooky story. That's crazy shit, right?
Sleep paralysis.
It's sleep paralysis. It happens to a
not
lot of
Satan
people. Yeah. Not Satan. And a lot of the people, they all feel the similar similar things. An evil presence in the room. Like, they're being held down. One lady is even like, did the whole, the power of Christ compels you. And she got out of it, you know, because you're just concentrating. Like, you can say any semblance of words and you'll bust out of it. But she ended up being like born again.
Peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, I'm out. Good. Now I'm gonna go worship the peanut butter sandwich. Like, she became a full on Christian after that. It's like, oh, like a demon tried to attack me, and now the Lord saved me. And it hasn't happened there. And there's another guy who, he has a weird, like, contagious version of the story, where he never heard about it before, and then his girlfriend at the time told him it happened to her. That night it happened to him, and then...
Ever since.
Then it's happened to him ever since, and then when he told other people about it happening to him, other people would experience it. Some sort of like a psychosomatic passing on of sleep paralysis. Weird. There's a couple of weird stories. So the documentary is interviewing like five or six different people that have gone through sleep paralysis, how they discovered what it is, how they deal with it, and then recreations of like... their weird visions and what it's like for them from their perspective at right. night. It's pretty creepy.
That sounds creepy.
Yeah. And
really
well
intense.
And well done, well
yep,
made.
Very well made.
The director goes through sleep paralysis sometimes, and that's what compelled him to make movie to begin with.
Fascinating.
Yeah. The Nightmare. Crazy stuff. Pretty much it's like your brain is shutting down for sleep and it's doing that weird subconscious processing thing that makes you dream. you know, makes weird things happen in your head, but you're still awake and conscious for it. So you're seeing, you're aware of things happening in your brain that you're supposed to be asleep for. And it's like, it's hard to process, you know?
Right.
Kind of meta, kind of deep, sort of.
A little bit,
sort of. Anyway, Nightmare, good stuff. Box office recap, Drew. I forgot to tell you, but you may know to look for Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number 15, Chris.
Number 15. So we're starting at top five at number 15.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Carol.
Carol.
$1.4 million.
Spoiler, it was Carol.
Same, total of just under $7
million. Just under $7 million so far. Not bad. Carol is a Todd Haynes movie. He did Far From Heaven with Jennifer Aniston and another movie. Oh, he did I'm Not There, the Bob Dylan movie with like six different Bob Dylans. Cate Blanchett was one of them, as a matter of fact.
Probably the most convincing Bob Dylan as well.
The best Bob Dylan was the Cate Blanchett one for sure. This movie stars Cate Blanchett. It's set in the 50s. And Rooney Mara, who's the girl with the dragon tattoo, the Hollywood Americanized version. And what else was she? A Nightmare Before Elm Street remake. And she's the girl at the beginning of the Social Network. She's a counter girl, shop girl. You know, she's like engaged with some dude, sort of. But, you know, he's like, let's get married. And she's like, I don't know. And then Cate Blanchett is an older lady who is going through a divorce. And she sees the young shop girl in the store one day around Christmas time doing some Christmas shopping, and they kind of fall for each other, have a little bit of a thing going on. And it's all about, you know, kind of, in a way, pretty much it's about like lesbianism in the 50s and how it's was seen as aberrant behaviors, not against societal norms, and could be used against people, especially in a divorce case where there's custody involved and stuff like that. And but it's also kind of like a road movie, but it's also in a way sort of like a coming of age story for the girl.
Right.
So there's a lot going on in this movie, actually. And it was pretty good.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Good cast. I like both of those.
Great cast. They have great chemistry together.
Certified fresh.
Certified fresh on the old RT. Whereas in 80s and 90s?
94.
94% people like it.
I'd check that out.
It's definitely going to be like nominated for awards and for acting awards. I don't know what it's going to win when it comes to Oscar time, but it's in the conversation for sure. And because it's very well made, very solid movie. It's also, you know, very, it's 1950s, right? So they had to fill out all the period specific details. So their production design is gorgeous.
Like clothes must be great.
Yeah, you can get lost in just looking at what the people were wearing, what the furniture looked like. And a street popular with all these old cars. At one point in the movie, I wasn't even thinking about the movie. I was like, where? So there's some guy who owns all these cars, and he's like renting them out to these productions.
Oh, yeah.
How does he transport them there? Do they drive them there? Do they put them on? I like went down a little wormhole.
Right. I have a friend who does that with guns.
Oh, yeah?
He has prop guns.
There
like,
you go.
Like an arsenal.
Yeah.
A zillion prop guns and ammo and stuff, and that's what he does.
And then rents
them. Part of what he does,
rents them out to productions and stuff. Yeah, that's there's some good money there. You just need to have some warehouse space and a lot of something. Do we have either of those things, Drew?
Neither.
Neither. Oh, boy. That's
got a fridge full of beer, though.
Fridge full of beer. Oh, but not for long.
All right.
Not for that long. Birthday's coming up, and it's going to be a lost day. I like that. I think it's a very good movie. I don't think it's the type of thing to run out and see in a theater, but definitely worth checking out at some point for sure. You still got the Rotten Tomato thing there? What do they say on the Rotten Tomato? You close that. It doesn't matter.
I just switched it.
It's cool. It's no big deal. It's all good. So, Carol, all right, good stuff. Go ahead, Drew.
Coming in at number five this week.
Number five.
Sisters. Made an additional $7 million. Total is 74.
$74 million? Really? Actually, you know what? Good for them. People were laughing at the decision to have that movie come out the same weekend as Star Wars. But I think that total shows that it was going to make its money no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, it may not have had a big opening weekend.
It's not making that Star Wars money.
No, of course not.
Nobody's making Star Wars.
Yeah, money. Star Wars is the only thing making that. Star Wars money is its own thing now. It's like, well, actually, I guess you can say Star Wars is making that Avatar money. but Sisters, though, I mean, coming in at close to $80 million, it might top out around $85, $90, almost $100 million low-budget comedy for the Fey-Polar team-up. I think that's pretty good.
Saw quite a few Fey-Polar election shirts walking around lately.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're a good team. I'd vote for that. That'd be a very strong ticket.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'd vote.
Coming at number four.
Especially if Bernie didn't get nominated. You know, third party.
Yeah.
The UCB party.
Mm-hmm.
Number four.
Number four. The Forest. $13 million.
Number four. The Forest. At number four. Mm-hmm. The Forest.
The Forest.
The Forest.
The Forest. If you're from New York.
Yeah, the Forest.
The Forest.
Got any water? That's I'm going into the Forest. Make sure you bring the water.
I'm going to the Suicide Forest. Jeez.
Oi, you Suicide Forest time. We did not see the Forest.
No.
How much did it make?
$13 million on a budget of 10, so...
Okay, that's okay. It looked like it would be a low budget. I mean, people make a wandering around in the woods is pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. We could shoot that here.
We could.
In Ocala.
Yes.
For $50. Yeah, we could do it. Just real cheap. Just need a good camera.
I'm all in on that.
Well, we didn't see it because... there were other things to see, fortunately.
Because we didn't see it.
So we didn't have to. It did have that chick from Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. her first leading role. Natalie Dormer, I think her name is.
If you say so.
Wait. She's, Natalie Dormer is,
She's the lady who's trying to marry into the, Lannister
already.
House.
She has.
Yeah, she married the younger, the second younger
yes,
one.
Yes, Tommen.
One. Yeah. And he's all like, I love her. She touches me in places.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it's an okay premise going into the Suicide Forest, which is apparently a real thing, yep. and but you know, obviously adding a supernatural element to it.
Well, apparently, you know, that's the real thing too.
The supernatural part,
from what the Japanese say.
I mean, from what they say, yeah. But you know, also people say that Bigfoot is real, mm-hmm. so that doesn't mean Harry and Henderson's a documentary.
There's a show that says Bigfoot's real, and it's on a lot.
I love.
Is it on a lot?
I yeah. love that. That's
it's,
on.
It's on a lot.
What show?
What is that? Like it's like Hunting for Bigfoot.
Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah,
oh, really?
There's like this whole strange society of them. They've been doing it for a while.
The whole strange society of Bigfoot?
They're making money. Like they're on like season 6 or 7 of this stupid show.
I always think of that Futurama episode where, you know, the forest ranger's into Bigfoot and Bender's like, yeah, he says to keep wasting your life, though. Make sure you keep wasting your life. You know?
For real. Hey, it's like the ancient aliens people. They're determined to prove that those pyramids could not possibly be built by men.
Totally were.
I mean,
by the way, totally built by men.
It's like aliens are real. Anyway, Suicide Forest, one day, maybe. I'll see. Hey, if you saw a Suicide Forest movie.
I'll rent that.
Yeah. Or if you rent it down the road, let us know.
Yeah, I'll rent that.
Review the show for the Vox Pop Line. We'll read your review.
All right.
Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Daddy's Home made approximately $15 million, total of 116.
116? God damn, that's a Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg team up mm-hmm. power right there. Because they've only done one other movie together, the other guys. I think that one did pretty well. So that's impressive because the movie's not that good.
Did not see that one, but I do like, I don't know, I'm particular. Love like Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
Talladega Nights. Love. There are certain movies that I just love, but some of them just don't get me to go see them.
Well, you know, some of them are good and some of them outright stink.
Was this one a stinker?
Daddy's Home is not very, it's not very good. Okay. It's,
I have a sixth sense when it comes to Will Ferrell movies, apparently.
And it's watchable. It's not like horrible, like Adam Sandler movies. Like, why am I wasting my time? But it never, it's like you, as you're watching a movie, you see the potential the whole time. Like, oh, this could have been funny.
Right.
The whole time. Like, this icy work, this could have been funny.
Right.
And the order parts were like, oh, that was kind of funny. Chuckle. You say chuckle instead of actually.
Because it's really not that funny.
Less energy to just say it. Chuckle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's definitely something where it's like, if it's a Tuesday night and it's raining and it's on TBS. And
watch
it's
Blades
like,
of Glory.
And it's like halfway through and you can't find your Blades of Glory DVD and the remote's on the other side of the room. Or the battery's dead. And you're like, I guess I'll sleep through this. It's a movie worth sleeping through.
Awesome. Yeah. Coming in number two this week.
Number two.
The Revenant.
Ooh.
Made $38 million.
38?
Total of 39.
All right. They were saying tracking 35 plus for that one. So the estimates coming out tomorrow could put it closer to 35 or it could make it, or it could hit 40. With football, though, in the playoffs, a lot of people are staying home today. That's a tough one. So we all saw The Revenant. Not together, but we all saw it. Amy, you are our guest. Please get us started.
I hate to say, The Revenant is the reason why when I go to the movie theater and I invest my money in a ticket and my hours to sit there, I want to see kaiju and robots destroying a fucking city.
You want
to
see a lot.
Yes. Yeah. I don't... The Revenant was well acted. It was gorgeous. It was deep. It was too freaking long.
Over 2.5 hours.
Too long.
It's this guy's longest movie.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just so sad from end to end.
I wouldn't call it... See, now, I never thought it was...
Historically accurate is what sad, I would call it.
Well, yeah, but it definitely has its sad moments. Nothing good happens to anyone. Like, the best thing that happens to anyone is that they get rescued from a situation that's already been awful for weeks.
Yeah.
Or they die. I mean, sometimes the best thing to happen is that they die.
Yeah, it's true, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Strategic arrow. Mm-hmm. Hopefully hits you square in the chest.
That opening scene where the settlers, the pelt collector dudes get attacked.
Oh, that was brutal. Dude, it was gorgeous.
Crazy.
And all of the camera work, it just went from guy to guy,
uncut.
Like rotated around them.
Right?
You follow the hatchet next.
I didn't see any cuts. It just moved. It wove through.
I think it did like the fake cutting where they melded a bunch of stuff together and make it look like the camera kept going.
Right.
And I think the thing they were doing for at least a chunk of that was like one dude gets killed and then the camera
follows the vision of the next guy.
Yeah, of the person, that guy, and so he gets killed, and whoever killed that guy, the camera's following that person.
It was great.
Which is, okay, now we got an actual visual thematic representation of one of the movie's themes, which is the circle of violence and the futility of it and how it's just, you know, the snake eating its own tail, that type of thing. This is a type of movie, Drew, and I think you may agree with me on this one, because we talked about this a little bit ourselves. This is a type of movie where I liked it quite a bit. I was kind of, I was going into it looking for, like, a poetic movie, lots of shots of mountain ranges, and DiCaprio standing in wheat fields.
Standing in the snow.
Standing in the fields, like, looking out over the field. Yeah. Just, like, contemplating whether
buffalo,
or not to die.
Contemplating buffalo.
Looking at bison.
We got some bison in there. That was a good scene.
Yeah. The whole first seeing the herd, and then eating the...
And then the wolves.
The wolves, and eating the one.
And then the Indian.
Good old Indian guy.
It was sort of like Survivor, man. You got to see how much crap you can eat when you have no food, and even when it's freezing out.
At one point, he picked up a bunch of like dead like grass, and I was like, "Is he just gonna start munching on the grass? Like that sucks." But then he used it to start a fire. I was like, "Oh, okay, I would not survive in this."
The marrow, you know.
Oh, the marrow. Yeah. As soon as he started doing that, I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I should remember the marrow."
I'll have to remember that.
It's a type of movie where I knew what I was getting myself into, so I pretty much got what I wanted. And I liked it quite a bit, but I wouldn't expect everyone else to feel the same way. It's such a a bold artistic statement.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, and
it was beautiful.
And so singular in what it's trying to do that it's bound to, for a lot of people, be like, I'm not into this because it's not meant for...
Well, no, I mean,
it's not meant for
people
everyone.
Into historical stories would love this. Epic.
I mean, even them, they might get turned off by the artiness of it.
It does get ambiguous at times.
I think it's funny. I heard, you know, people behind us being like, you know, this couple talking about the trailers. They hated this trailer. They hated that trailer. That trailer. And then, you know, it's okay. We're just here to see Leonardo DiCaprio. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
blah,
really?
Blah. So,
you know, they hated it.
He's tricking people into seeing this really strange art movie.
Yeah. There are a lot of people not expecting. They just see a trailer. They just see him being mauled
by
a bear.
This isn't Catch Me If You Can.
Yes. Yeah, no, no, it is not.
It definitely is not.
This is Get Mauled by a Bear.
They think it's a revenge western.
I was really hoping to see like the cute little cubs from Brave
come back and munch on his face.
Yeah, that was who I thought they were going to be. Like that was going to be the revenge story. It was going to be the cubs.
The cubs. That's the Revenant 2. When the cubs
that
come
is,
back.
They're setting it up for that. That's what I think. Those cute little redheads from the Disney movie.
They crossed the whole country. It's a find the men who killed their ma. That bear attack was something else.
It was brutal.
Yeah, which was another one where it was like one camera take. Like, I wonder how they did that one, because it was obviously a CG bear.
Yes, but that was a highlight for me.
But
that
also,
was totally a
but
highlight.
How did they... Who's dragging around DiCaprio on set? Like, how do they do that?
It looked like it was maybe some sort of machine that was dragging him around. It definitely wasn't a person.
There was somebody machine. Those feet were practical in places. They had they were
pressing against his head.
Yes, there was somebody's arm in there shoving him into the
dirt. And then the long claws and nails on the bear. When the bear put its paw on his head to make sure he was dead or not, I was like... half wincing because I was like expecting the bear just slightly move its paw and like slice his face right open. Yeah. And I was like, this movie is so brutal that they would show us DiCaprio's face being sliced open. But that doesn't happen. But every other part of him gets...
You see him getting bit.
But basically every single other part of him.
The rest of him does. Yeah.
It's brutal.
That nice shot of his back. Oh, I was like, oh, this is not pleasant.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's a brutal movie to watch. It's violent. It's bloody. And like you said, it is not fun or funny. It is dour.
No,
it is like just.
It is dreary,
and the whole thing is like on.
And it's
terrible. Things happen to all the people that you might like, even a little.
Yeah. Yes. All of them, if not emotionally, then physically, and then every aspect of the movie is turned up to 11. Mm-hmm. So it's like the whole time it's just on full blast, like artiness, the landscape, the you know,
magical
realism. Yeah. Like I was telling Drew, once you see a bird flying out of a dead body, then you know you're in for a movie.
Yeah, yep.
Like this is it. Symbolism abounds in a movie like that. So would you agree with that, Drew? Are you like how much did you like it?
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I mean, I really
like based on your expectations.
The expectations were met. This is what I knew it was going to be.
Okay,
it was what it was. Mm-hmm. So. I knew what I was getting out of the deal.
But you would agree if someone else is like, I didn't like it that much.
Well, I totally understand why. Like, a lot of people don't like a lot of the movies I like.
It's one thing to be like, what, you hated Star Wars? What, are you an idiot? But then, because it's so just, it's just entertainment, it's like, hey, here's a piece of cake. What, you don't like cake? What is this like? Oh, you don't like sea urchin? I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I understand.
Sure. That's excellent, actually.
Yeah, it's like, it's a specific
flavor. It's an acquired taste. I get it.
Flavor. If it's from the sea, why does it taste like peanut butter? This doesn't make any sense.
Do you have the Rotten Tomatoes thing there?
It's sitting at 80% fresh.
80%? Yeah, okay.
That seems about right to me. Yeah. That's where I would put it. I liked
I'm
it.
Not surprised.
I mean, I'm cracking on it a little bit just because... It was like, come on. Like,
and you legitimately had these issues with it, though.
You know, the end. But it was hypnotizing to look at.
At times,
snow-covered mountains.
And Leonardo DiCaprio did such a good job.
He really did. The acting was the acting was excellent.
I
agree.
Him and Hardy both had to go pretty hard. DiCaprio harder than most. Obviously, just walking, wading in cold water, and like the whole
being strapped to a fucking sled.
Yeah, that sucks.
And being carried around in the snow.
Agree.
And apparently, I've read about this now a bunch of times. Everyone's reporting the same thing. The bison liver that he was eating was like real raw bison liver.
It looked real.
Yeah, it looked real.
And so is that why he really threw up in the beginning?
Probably because he's also a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So. To be a vegetarian, not eat meat normally, then like here's a delicious piece of offal.
Are we supposed to all be like, offal. Oh, he so suffers for his art?
No, well, that's why everyone keeps bringing it up. He actually ate raw bison as a vegetarian to make this movie. That's one of the primary examples.
Fed to him by 8 Victoria's Secret models.
Probably.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got his type. He knows his type. I respect the guy for that. He's not going to like beat around the bush.
I have no issue with that.
Pretend he's looking for an intellectual. All right? They're not all George Clooney's. where he's the arm candy in the relationship. You got the consensus there for the
therapy?
What do they say? Brutal, but gorgeous.
As starkly beautiful as it is harshly uncompromising.
Yes.
The Revenant uses Leonardo DiCaprio's committed performance as fuel for an absorbing drama that offers punishing challenges and rich rewards.
This will probably be it for DiCaprio winning the best actor.
You think?
Yeah.
He was good.
So, he was really good, but it's also a type of thing where it's like, it's his time type of thing.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah, I hate that too.
And unfortunately, the Revenant's not going to get Best Picture this year.
Cinematography?
For Best Picture? No. Yeah. I want to say it would get Best Picture.
He can't go back-to-back.
Yeah, that would be pretty rare. They don't normally go back-to-back with winning Birdman last year and then this year. But it happens. But it's not going to happen.
No.
It's too ambitious for its own good for commercial appeal. For all the Academy members that like it. It's just too much of a... It's the type of thing where I think in 20, 30 years people will be talking about it a lot. And referencing it and using it as a discussion fodder.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it might be a little too much for someone else. For me, after one viewing, I was like trying to write about it. I was like, what do I even say?
Need to watch it again.
I need to watch this again, which I would like to one day. So that was number two. At 38.
Yeah.
Which means number one is obviously...
Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still made another $41.5 million.
So only a $3 million difference between the two.
Total of 812 domestic and 1.7 billion worldwide.
So it's looking like it's getting to... it's going to get to between 900 and 950 million domestic. It won't crack a billion domestically. Because the way it's slowing down, it made a lot of money really fast, like faster than Avatar. But it's also slowing down faster than Avatar. Avatar was making between 17 and 25 million every weekend from the middle of December to the middle of January for like 5-6 weeks in a row. Just boom, boom, over and over.
It's only been out for 4 weeks, Chris.
Well, same thing with Avatar. It was crushing.
BB-8 action figures made $8 billion at Target.
Oh yeah,
this weekend. I totally made that up. Don't track that. I made that up, but it completely sounds like I did.
No, that math tracks. It makes sense to me. That's why they make these movies to begin with, just for the merchandising.
That was just the BB-8 throw pillows. Wasn't even the piggy banks and the clock radios.
I read that since Disney spent the $4 billion to acquire Lucasfilm, they already made that money back in merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
Worldwide merchandise.
Before it even came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, geniuses. They are geniuses. So I don't think it'll get to a billion domestic, but it's still a record because the previous number one domestic movie was Avatar, I believe, around 700. So it crushed that record.
Yeah.
At 1.7, it's right now should be the number three all-time worldwide. It's about to pass Titanic, which is at like 1.8. Mm-hmm. But then it's still got a ways to go to get to 2.8 for Avatar.
It all depends on how long it freaking sticks around.
How long can it stick around for? It's got the next like legit big movie to come out is until the end of March, which is the Batman Superman.
Yeah.
So that's a solid 3 months of like no blockbuster type contender. Because it's a summer type movie out in the winter.
Yeah.
Hell, I've only seen it once. I'm going to go see it again. In a couple weeks pretty soon. So we'll see. It definitely has a good shot of being the number one all time. One weird stat that it didn't. It broke almost practically any box office record you can think of. It
pulls in so many more people though, because the people who don't care about new air quotes Star Wars movies, it's pulling in all the people who want to see Harrison Ford who want to see, you know what I mean,
and people who want to be in on the discussion, don't want to be left out.
Water cooler.
Water cooler talk, exactly. It's weird though how of all the records this movie broke, it didn't break the one record of the fastest to a billion worldwide. Everyone was expecting that to be easy because Jurassic World made a billion in like 12 days.
Yeah.
For some reason, it took Star Wars like 13 or 14 days. It had to do with the Christmas holiday because it shattered every other freaking record it came across. But for some reason, it couldn't beat that one. Everyone was like, oh, that one's for sure. But it's such a weird one too. This whole record staying in the money, it's so weird. People are strange, and the obsession with it is a little gross. But Star Wars, you saw Star Wars.
I did.
Of course, everyone saw Star Wars.
I did.
Right now.
It's the first one I really honestly, you know, the first one post the original trilogy that I could really honestly say I really enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
fully enjoyed.
Even the prequels, like, you didn't sit down and see them the first time and be like, I thought it was okay, and then over time, like, realize they're not that good.
I like them,
I walked
out. But he didn't.
I walked to the theater every time watching the first ones going, what the hell was that?
Really?
Yeah.
I always I was pretty good at being
I just watched the Fast and Furious podcast drift. What the hell's going on here?
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
It was awful.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay, you convinced me.
But
you walked out of the theater of this one being like,
I liked it, but probably a lot of that was nostalgia. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It really had the nostalgia factor.
It's retro filmmaking.
It is, and I mean, I am of that age. I remember my parents taking me to see Star Wars.
Sure.
You know, when it was in the theater, when it was released, when it was huge.
I remember going to see the re-releases in the 90s.
Did you guys ever see Hardware Wars? You got to look that up.
Don't think so.
No, you guys have to look that up. It's a great little short film parody that was made in the 70s after Star Wars came out.
Oh, wow.
Hardware Wars.
Parodied at that time.
Very funny. They had a cookie monster that was basically like Chewbacca. It's very funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
smart. Yes, they do.
Puppets and stuff? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So are you now like, does that then mean you're more energized now for more Star Wars stuff personally?
I'm one of those people who I will go see it.
Sure.
I'm going to go see it no matter what.
Yeah.
And I admit it. I went to see all the other ones. I didn't They were fun. You know, there were things I liked about them. But for me, it's just the first three, and that's it. And this doesn't change that. But this one I really enjoyed. And I thought that they did a good job of introducing new characters.
I think that's the best thing that they did with the new characters.
They really did a good job of that. Yeah. I thought that everybody was great. And it was... Ooh, I just pulled on my headphones. And I thought... you know, it was just great to see them all looking at each other. They got the old band back together.
Yeah.
So that was all great.
Man, can we say anything spoilery at this point?
It's been I've been avoiding it. I wanted to do that. I wanted to talk kind of about how I felt gypped by the ending of The Revenant, but I'm not going to do it.
I mean, it's been out for four weeks.
Yeah,
now.
Fair enough.
It's been out for 4 weeks. I think the quorum's over.
At 1.7 billion worldwide.
They do have to voluntarily download, right?
That's true. Look, if you still haven't seen the movie, you're worried about spoilers at this point. I mean, I think you're on your own.
Han Solo takes it in the chest.
I wasn't going there, but yeah,
yes,
that's a big one.
With a lightsaber,
he takes it.
I saw it coming from a mile away.
And then he makes the fall, the big fall.
He deserved better. He deserved a better demise, I thought.
Oh, but Harrison Ford's been trying to get out of that for so long.
Yeah, that's the thing. They were trying to kill that character off since Return of the Jedi.
Oh, I'm sure that he was like, look, I'm not freaking doing this again. So you better find a way to toast me.
Which now, in retrospect, his apparent happiness on the Star Wars press tour, everything he did,
he's like, this is the last time I ever have to fucking do this.
Right.
He was enjoying himself so much and doing all these different, like, Skyping in random Star Wars fans and talking to them. Like, this is not the Harrison Ford we've known for the last 2 years.
He's like, this is the last time I ever have to do any of this.
He was like, I am out of here.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
So I'm just going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, he was doing a farewell tour.
Right. Exactly.
At least for the character. Genius guy. But it's interesting that, speaking of getting the band back together, they did make this movie and with these characters, and we never got one moment of Luke, Leia, and Han together.
Right.
And we never will.
Yeah, and now we never will. That is correct. That is correct, sir. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
I mean, unless Han Solo does that whole weird Jedi ghost thing.
But he's not a Jedi.
He's
not a Jedi. Anakin's a Jedi. Let's bring back Hayden Christensen, yo.
Can we not? Is that old guy who was the old guy?
Al Guinness?
Is he still around?
No,
he's not been around for a long time.
Yeah, he died in 2000. Ewan McGregor's still around. Ewan McGregor recorded a line of dialogue, and then they manipulated some old Al Guinness dialogue to say the same thing addressing Rey. Mm-hmm. So that moment where she has like that force flashback, flash forward loss type thing. There's a quick snippet of dialogue, and it's Ewan McGregor and Alec Guinness saying the same thing on top of each other, which I didn't even hear it.
Nope.
That happened so fast. But then I read about it. I was like, what? They went through all of that for something I didn't even notice?
Yep.
I have to watch the movie again.
Why not go through all of that when you're going to make $81 bazillion before they even release it?
Stupid.
They have to make up new monetary units for these movies.
Disney bucks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what they are.
Bucks.
Yeah. And now it's all, for most popular and most financially successful movies, it's going to be an internal Disney battle between two of their subdivisions, Lucasfilm and Marvel.
Yeah.
Those two guys are going to duke it out to see who can have the biggest opening weekend. And Disney is above them all, just being like, yes, yes, rubbing his hands together. Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Star Wars Marvel crossover?
They can totally do
that
it.
That needs to be
they
like a robot
money.
War.
That's your $1 billion opening weekend right there.
Yeah. Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they found a way.
Yeah.
10 years from now.
They can do it.
Star Wars meets
Marvel
in Guardians of Galaxy 8. What? That's a weird... Actually, I guess that's the one that makes the most sense.
As long as Michael Rooker's in it, I'm in.
Yeah, Michael Rooker with a lightsaber. That seems dangerous, like, for everyone involved.
Even but I want him to play Merle.
A one-handed racist, lightsaber-wielding, blue-skinned serial killer named Henry.
That's what I want.
Michael Rooker is
that's
the
best. What I want. I would so go see that. That would be worth, $12 or whatever a movie ticket is now. I can't remember.
A friend of ours did a short film with Michael Rooker a while ago. Our friend Kevin, SBK, he did a short film where he had to ride in the back of a car with Michael Rooker. He said it was a nice guy. I was like, you weren't scared for your life the whole time?
I have heard he's nice.
I thought the dude would rip your skin off. He's nice, but he's also genuinely insane.
Yeah, he seems that way whenever I see him on The Talking Dead, which is enjoyable. That's why he's a good guest.
He's unhinged.
He's a loose cannon.
He could say or do anything at any time. Like, no wonder you are you. You are Michael Rooker. So you would recommend Star Wars to people then, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, like, who hasn't seen it by now?
Sure.
If you're going to see it, you're going to see it.
Go. Everybody's seen it.
Everyone's seen it.
See it three times.
Yeah. We give you permission
They're
to
all
see
starving.
Multiple.
Give all your money to Disney.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, you know, these little movies need our support. If you want more Star Wars movies, you have to go see them. Yeah. So hopefully we'll get another one soon.
We're going to do a Kickstarter for the next one.
That would be so ballsy. This is like, you know what?
People would do it because they'd want like the swag.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh my God, I got the only limited edition. Blah, blah, blah. I pledged $20. True. They would make like...
Don't give Disney ideas now.
They'll do it.
Disney
they'll do it.
They will do it.
We have a little movie that we want to do.
Disney's so evil. A new movie is coming out on DVD. Hotel Transylvania 2 was coming out.
I think we talked about this movie last time because
it was in theaters. I think it was in theaters last time you were on.
It was. I saw the first one. I did not see the second one. Yeah, I got enough of it the first time.
So that's not going to change.
Which
then,
usually happens
saying.
With Adam Sandler. I've already had enough Adam Sandler and I don't need any more.
Exactly. We're good with that guy. Although we'll be talking a little bit about him in the second half of the show. What a surprising stat. The Martian comes out on DVD.
Sweet.
Very popular film.
That was a good movie.
It's a good movie. A lot of fun. Really. Scott's The Martian. Paranormal Activity: The Ghost Dimension. The 3D found footage movie. which raises
the
question.
We talked about this last time too.
Yeah.
Why are you people going to this?
Yeah. Yeah, why are they? Bunch of dummies. Same people that once saw Sinister 2, probably.
Just buy those night vision goggles and walk around outside in the woods. It'd be way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You'll see the same
paranormal and Finding Bigfoot crossover right there.
There we go. Looking for Bigfoot's ghost.
Bigfoot activity.
Because Bigfoot died Bigfoot's years ago. Ghost. He died a long time ago by now. True. We've been looking for him so long he's dead. Yeah. But his ghost is still. That's why we can't find him. That's why we can't find him.
Bigfoot's a ghost. All right, good job, Chris. You did it.
I'm actually going to delete that part of the podcast and I'm seriously going to write that story treatment and sell it to Blumhouse.
Shooting Casadega.
That's what's on DVD. Drew, what's in theaters?
Ride Along 2.
Ride Along 2.
Because I saw the first one. No, I didn't.
I'm hoping that you don't have to see the first one to get the second one because I haven't seen the first one.
I'm hoping you don't have to see either of them.
Well, that first one made it, had a $40 million opening weekend in January, which is huge. So that's why we got it right along too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened.
We also have 13 Hours: The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
What an awkward title.
Yes.
For so many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, you want to see a movie about the ambassador who died and the soldiers who barely got out of there alive, I guess?
Well, I mean, it's a Michael Bay movie, so there's going to be lots of boom.
He's a military fetishist. That's why he gets unprecedented access to their hardware for Transformers movies.
I like the boom.
Well, then you're going to get plenty of that. If you watch the trailer for 13 Hours, it looks like Transformers movies where they just forgot to put in the robots.
Yeah, instead they put in brown people.
Yeah, or they could just put in robots in the background. There's just explosions everywhere. Oh, it's not like
that would make
sense.
The movie much more appealing to me.
If there are giant robots in there.
Giant robot kaiju and robots. Pacific Rim 17, I want to see that.
If the secret soldiers of Benghazi were giant robots and monsters, then it would be a much better movie.
That'd be pretty cool.
But instead it's the guy from The Office.
Yeah.
That's not as good.
Apparently he's a badass now.
Apparently, he was like sort of a badass in Aloha, but he was like he was an implied badass.
Now
in
he's
Aloha,
got a beard,
and now he's got a beard, and he's actually shooting a gun. What's his name? John Krakowski.
John Krasinski.
I was close.
Oh my god!
I've never watched
him. He's a badass soldier. That's so funny.
Yeah. I just hope now that at some point someone yells.
That
like,
just made it interesting for me.
Hopefully there'll be a moment where like his superior officer will be like.
Who co-stars Michael Cera? Like, is that the other guy?
No, Steve Carell. They're both in there. And then they're like, they're coming. And then
Jesse Eisenberg.
And then they look at the camera and the camera zooms in on their face. And then they just like make a droll face. Like, oh no. Anything else coming out?
No.
Boy. That's a weak weekend. That's
I mean, there is.
That's going to suck.
There's a new Richard Gere movie where he's looking old.
Yeah, that's
Is that
sad.
The one where he's homeless?
Probably.
I remember a story a while ago where Richard Gere tried to, like, he put on, like, a shabby coat and went into the streets of New York City trying to pretend to be homeless, and it didn't work. People were like, hey, aren't you Richard Gere? He was like, damn it.
Rob Schneider plays Norm of the North. That's going to be awful. That was that really bad polar bear.
Oh, that animated movie.
It's Rob Schneider.
Looks terrible.
Yeah.
I've not heard of that.
It's gonna make a cool $10 million. Actually, it's the only family movie out.
And apparently there's a movie called Band of Robbers. I just want to tell you the synopsis because this is ridiculous.
Hit it.
And Hannibal Buress is in the movie. Weird.
Okay, I'm in. Hannibal Buress, the best part of Daddy's Home, the Will Ferrell movie.
Band of Robbers.
Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn are grown men still searching for the hidden treasure that has eluded them since childhood.
I've seen
what?
A little bit of marketing for this, and it's like and it's modern
just
day.
No,
what?
Yeah, it's like
so. Wait, there.
Hamill Burson movie,
and it's like an ABC show.
So like it's not even set in.
It's not set like 1900s.
No,
it's modern day, and they're like in their 20s and. It's like the Guy Ritchie version of the Huck Finn Tom Sawyer story.
Come on, Hollywood. So give a young screenwriter with an Artie Lean a chance. Come on. You got so much
money. You think that's bad? That
just give somebody a chance. Who green-lighted that?
We saw a trailer for Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Oh, yeah. I read that book.
Yeah.
No. Okay, no.
Yeah, but the
you
trailer,
read a book
though.
Called Pride and Prejudice. And Zombies.
Yeah, that's what I read. It was awesome.
I think
this was the first thing that made Austin readable.
Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Wait a minute.
They had crosses in the title. Those could have been end signs.
No.
They could have been. I don't know.
No.
It looks bad.
I'm not going to see the movie.
Hot girls wearing Victorian dresses killing zombies?
Killing zombies.
They're ninjas. They're martial art. They're trained in martial arts in the book. In the book, it was great.
When you watch a trailer, it's obvious that like, this is an idea that works great as a book.
It was good. It really was. It was a super fun book.
But then to make it as a movie, like it would need such a specific approach. And I don't think
they'd need to really own the book. I mean, I get that they have to condense it, but they'd really need to own that.
Well,
and instead they're going to make it, you know,
it looked like a straight up action movie. And I feel like based on what it is, it should have been heavy on the Pride and Prejudice aspect.
I think they should have made it look like a Merchant Ivory movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's not what they're going for.
No, and that's terrible. No, that's terrible. They're going to make it look like the remake of Texas Chainsaw, which was gorgeous and beautiful. And that's not a gorgeous, beautiful movie, people. It's supposed to be dirty and dusty and scary like a snuff film.
Yeah, and it reminded me of another movie based on a book by the same author, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Didn't see that. I didn't read that one, but
the book wasn't bad.
It looked the same, where it's like...
Right.
Glossy PG-13 action instead of owning the time period.
They really should have. That would have made it great. Like if they really made it like George Romero meets Merchant Ivory.
Yeah, 100%.
That would have been badass.
Yeah,
I would have gone to see that.
So unfortunately, that's not what the movie is. And then what comes out in February? I think
I have no idea.
Probably something like that. All right, Drew. It's time for everyone's favorite segment. I get it every week. Time for the Dr. Drew's Two Cents. I hope you're ready. Are you ready? You look ready to me.
I'm excited.
Amy is excited.
It's my first time.
Yeah. We didn't do no Dr. Edgy's Two Cents.
Should have.
He's not a doctor.
He could be.
He's a doctor of vapeology.
It would have been about Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, it would have been. Or vaping. That's the rumor. Or vaping with Sandra Bullock.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Take it away, Dr. Drew.
So it doesn't happen often. It actually happens a lot. But,
a blue moon?
No. When I'm completely disgusted by people.
Oh.
I was driving the other day and I saw a vanity plate. First off, it's a vanity plate, so that's kind of silly to begin with. But do you know what the vanity plate said? It said, me now. And I think that is exactly what is wrong with the world today. Everyone is me now, and that, I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, wow.
It blew my mind.
Wow.
So the doctor's out.
Intense. Good job, Dr. Drew. Appreciate it. Okay, let's take a break, guys. Break time. One of my favorite recent movies, great documentary, Jodorowsky's Dune. Got the poster.
So good.
Right up there. Just found out that as of November, they finally put out the soundtrack for the movie by a fellow named Kurt Stenzel. It's got a very spacey, electronic, cool soundtrack. One of the best soundtracks out there actually for a documentary. I gotta say, it's very, very cool. So I'm gonna play a few songs from there, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. You guys ready?
Ready.
Yes.
All right, let's do this.
is to create yourself a soul. For me, movies are an art, more than an industry. And it's a search of the human soul, as painting, as literature, as poetry. Movies are that for me.
the quest will go.
And we are back. How's it going? I had a delicious bacon maple donut. Now I'm feeling all jacked up. Thanks a lot, Amy.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for the donuts.
Donut King. Good stuff.
Courtesy of Donut King, hanging out with your Scott Granger.
What up?
And his sweet Hot Vault Girl shirt.
Yep.
Seriously, dude, that's the start of that band.
Hot Vault Girl?
We are Hot Vault Girl.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
Next time I come in, I'm going to wear a cool t-shirt.
It's going to be our steampunk-influenced 80s rock cover, man. It'll be all 80s. We'll cover 80s songs, but we'll do like a Weird Al style parody of them. But everything's got to be steampunk.
Steampunk accordion would be cool.
The steampunk accordion with gears and stuff on it? You have to learn how to play accordion. Then one with gears. Let me just go ahead and pull this up here. So let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419.
419.
All over the internet.
419. 419. Hit me up on Twitter. I am Chris Crespo and the show at CrespoDiso. And of course on Facebook, Cinema CrespoDiso. And Instagram, Cinema CrespoDiso. So Amy, where can people find your stuff online?
At AmyDrewThompson.com. AmyDrewThompson.
Nice. What have you been writing lately up there?
Oh my goodness. Just lots of travel stuff. Mm-hmm. A little bit of... Oh, gosh, I'm all over the place. Always, just come check me out.
Yeah, that's what I like about
it. See some of the backlogs.
A wide variety of topics.
Oh, yeah, politics to porn.
Yes.
Check me out.
Literally something for everyone.
Literally.
It's pretty great. Where can people find you on the Twitter?
Amy Drew, at AmyDroo. We went phonetic because somebody took my name, but that's okay because it's really cute.
It is.
It's Amy
creative.
Drew. It is. Yeah. It's Amy Drew, and that's the same at Instagram. AmyDroo, like two little eyes looking at you.
And you also don't want to go, you didn't want to go with ADT because some people just confuse you with the security systems.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it's already been taken. All right. Oh, yes. And of course, you mentioned LadiesFromTros.net. Go to LadiesFromTros.net. And ChrisCrespo.com. And Orange Blossom Pilsner. And I think that's all the everything. Right? Orange Blossom Pilsner. You got one. You got a toasted coconut porter.
This is so good.
Isn't it some tasty stuff?
This is tasty stuff. I'm loving it.
And when the weather starts getting a little chillier like it is today, it's good for a nice porter like
This. I want to pour this into a glass and just get my nose in it.
Oh, we can get that done.
Really good.
We can definitely get that done, especially since why is your LadiesFromTros.net is down. All right, we have to talk to my sponsor about that.
Just pointing that out.
All right, appreciate it. Go to LadiesFromTros.net for the latest and reload buttons. Okay. So, would you like a glass? We can get you a glass.
Oh no, don't worry about it.
We got.
But I think that this would, you know. This would definitely benefit because you would smell all that good toasty stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. Get the aromas out. Let it breathe a bit.
Indeed.
That's some good stuff there. All right. Well, let's get started with our homeboy Billy D up in New York. He is our New York City senior correspondent.
Fan of his work.
It is. It's good stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at I Love Blood. And he has his own theme song right here. And we're going to play it. So here it is. Drewster Cogburns, you got it right there from Billy D. What's he saying?
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I was crazy busy this week with real work and managed to squeeze a viewing of Pay the Ghost on Netflix.
Wait, what?
Into my schedule. You know, real work where he actually gets paid.
No.
Monies.
I'm talking about the title?
Pay the Ghost.
Anyone hear this?
Nope.
You have to pay it, apparently.
Okay.
It's greedy.
Pay the Ghost.
Sometimes Netflix...
I'm predicting. I haven't read this. I'm predicting, based on the title alone, this is shit. Okay, go ahead.
Sometimes Netflix is like that altar of chalices at the end of The Last Crusade, and sometimes you choose poorly. I chose poorly.
Oh, Billy.
Pay the Ghost combines two great flavors to make a turd stew. You would think a supernatural horror film starring Nicolas Cage would yield something.
Nicolas Cage is in this?
Come on.
But barely a burp of energy from Cage the whole time. It had a couple of decent jump scares and an interesting concept, but fails in the third act. I'd say that without Cage, this film wouldn't have been so bad. Someone a little hungrier and more unknown could have done something better in the role, but I bet he brought some money to the production. Anyway, just like most bills, you're going to want to avoid paying this one. Stay cool, Billy D.
Hi-yo. Man, I guess.
Did Nicolas Cage win an Oscar?
At one point in time. And then he took that Oscar clout and made action movies.
See, like, I hear Dave Chappelle going, he made Thriller, man. That's what I hear when I hear. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, he won an Oscar, man. What is he doing in that?
That's so true.
Come on. Paying bills.
He's been saying... He's out of tax debt now. He's not making money. He's not making movies anymore just
to
pay back.
He's not making any sweet residuals off Valley Girl.
I'm sure he is. He's getting those 30-cent checks every time he plays on TV, I'm sure.
Probably.
But,
Fan. Yeah. I'm of that era.
It's like for the longest time now, his movies are more likely than not complete garbage. And why is that? Because he's still interesting. He's still fun.
He is.
He's got it. But like Billy said, this one apparently had no energy whatsoever.
He's just phoning it in on this one.
No one wants to see low energy Nick Cage. I want over the top mega acting like Ghost Rider Nick Cage.
Maybe he doesn't have it in him anymore.
Oh, that would be so sad.
He's an old man.
But he was in Joe recently.
We just need to get him some good drugs.
Joe was within the last couple years. The David Gordon Green movie. It's on Netflix. That's really good. He's really good in it. That's definitely worth checking out.
He wasn't over the top Nick Cage, though.
No, but he was still like, he had this bit of like energy to the character. It was like, oh, this guy could burst out in violence at any time. I feel like it was an interesting movie. I thought it was ridiculous. I like Nick Cage. He's a good guy. Billy, pay the ghost? Just from the title.
Pay the ghost.
Yeah, it is kind of a. What does that even mean?
Exactly. And Nick Cage being in it is
I'm
like.
I'm not getting any message. I mean, sometimes the titles of a movie do give you the wrong message.
It's evocative in some way.
Yeah, but this doesn't really give me any.
This sounds like your landlord died. But you still got to pay your rent.
A bunch of words out of a bag. Let's call our movie this. What did you get? What tile did you get? I got pay.
I got ghost.
Okay, we'll call it pay the ghost.
We'll call it the pay ghost. No, that's not working. The ghost pay?
Ghost pay.
Pay the ghost?
It's like, oh, where we stumble upon something here.
Maybe.
You win the title lottery. No, stupid pay the ghost. Well, thanks, Billy. We appreciate it.
You guys are fun.
We try. Try to keep it fun or else we'll go crazy. All right. This is a segment of the show where people write into us and we read what they write and then we answer their questions and stuff like that. It's the Vox Populi. Here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
All right, Drewster Cogburn, you have the stuff over there.
Correct.
What are we talking about?
Well, we got an email from Luis Modesto.
What's up, Luis?
What's up, fellas? I was wondering, and maybe you know, on Netflix, why aren't the Kung Flu flicks? It's Kung Flu season, people.
Guys, make sure you get your Kung Flu vaccinations.
Why aren't the Kung Fu flicks dubbed in English back in the day?
You'll be infected with the five deadly venoms.
That is part of the fun of these movies.
Nobody wants to read. Just learn to read. It's fundamental.
I started watching the five venoms today, and it only had subtitles. I have the five venoms on DVD, but it's called the five deadly venoms, and it was dubbed in English.
Yeah.
I have watched lots of Kung Fu movies on Netflix, and the majority are the same. Some are even dubbed in Spanish, but it's not the same. If I wanted to read, I would open a book. What's up with that? Stay classy.
People need to read more.
People really need to read more.
Don't be afraid to read.
I'm a writer.
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Please, read more.
They're just words on a screen. Your eyes can pass over them quickly.
You can process them in your brain.
I think so, right? I think that's a possibility. That was definitely like a thing in the 70s and 80s. You get a Kung Fu movie and more than that, it would be dubbed.
Bad English.
Bad dubbing. And now...
You'll see me folding sweaters at Kohl's soon. nobody reads.
No one does. Yeah, people need to read. Or they have things read to them. Audible. Audible.com. Not a sponsor. But nowadays, the people are more about, you know, companies are more about preserving the films, fortunately. So instead of the dubbing, you get the original soundtrack and then they throw the subtitles up there. For the most part, I prefer the subtitles because I would rather hear like the original
I want to hear it the way, you know.
It's very rare when the dubbing is actually better.
Correct.
when it actually enhances the experience.
I agree.
Old Godzilla movies, probably.
Yeah.
Old Godzilla movie, but that is my... Way.
Sure. Yeah, it does have that aesthetic.
Now you are talking my language, friend.
That's the way to
old
go.
Old Godzilla movies.
All right. Yeah, Luis, read more, buddy. We appreciate it.
On the Facebook, good we got day. Some people.
Read more.
Samantha Haar got at us.
Sam from Tom and Dan. Spoiler, guest spoilers. We're going to have Sam from Tom and Dan on the show towards the end of February.
Very nice.
And actually, the Sunday next show coming up, we'll have Ross McCoy from Tom and Dan in studio. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Time travel movies.
Time travel movies.
Yay or nay?
Oh, yay.
Yay!
What is the best time travel movie?
Well, you didn't answer time travel movies.
See,
yay or nay?
I wish I had had this question ahead of time.
Of course,
yay.
I mean,
there's a lot of time travel.
It all depends on what kind of time travel we're doing here.
Time travel.
I mean, are we doing like strange, like not necessarily like traveling?
Oh snap! Drew's the guy. We're in Bruce the world.
We're floating through that thing with the clocks.
Yeah, it's like the beginning of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Well, hold on to that thought, Drew. I want to hear about different types of Twilight time travel movies.
Different types of Twilight.
I was not prepared, and I will give you one right now.
You want to go ahead and throw it out there?
Time after time.
The going after Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a crazy.
I love
movie.
That movie.
It's a weird movie.
It is. It's fun.
Yeah,
I'll do anything with Malcolm McDowell. I will.
Crazy.
It's true.
All right, let's play this game here. Drew, we just started the year. You're a 1-0.
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Brand new game. We haven't done it before. It's called Say My Name. I'm going to describe a person in a movie. The movie is named after that person, is the title. The movie's title is that person's name. This is the first time I've done this game because I can't even describe it.
Okay.
The movie title is the character's name.
So the movie title is a name.
Yeah, and it's the main character.
Okay.
And I'll even break it down for you even more.
Do I have to hit a buzzer?
No, because we're going to go...
One
at a time. And to make it even easier for you guys, it's always going to be a first name and a last name.
Okay.
So, for example, if I were to say in this movie, it's an assassin avenges the death of his pet puppy.
John Wick. Yes.
John Wick. The poster. John Wick posters are right here. So that's not one of them. That doesn't count.
Okay.
I didn't see that. I'm really glad.
Oh, it's good, though.
You really need to see that movie.
It's good. Drew, you won. You're 1-0. So you got to go first. Group A or Group B? Which one do you want? Choose wisely. I tried to make them even, but I don't know. One could be harder than the other.
Group A.
Okay. Number one, a 27-year-old must complete 12 grades of school in 2 weeks.
Billy Madison.
That's correct. Number two, a law firm fixer experiences a crisis of conscience. He's thinking, stroking his beard. He's thinking.
I got nothing.
Michael Clayton.
Yes, you are correct.
Number three. Yes, I am correct. I have the answer right in front of me. Number three. A Confederate soldier is transported to another planet. When he thinks he sounds like a lion hibernating.
It's on the tip of my tongue. John Carter.
That's correct. Number four. A paralegal helps residents of a small town sue a gas and electric company.
I just raised my hand.
She's showing off, Drew.
I know. I should probably know this. I can't think of it.
It is Aaron Brockovich.
Is correct. You do not get a point for that, Amy.
Extra point.
No. Yay. Number five. You only got two right
just
so far,
in case
Drew.
I don't know any of mine.
That might happen. That's why you never know.
Exactly.
Number five. A sports agent starts his own agency.
Sports agent starts. I know it.
Mr. Cotter.
I know the movie. And, I just got to think of it.
Just got to. Yeah, that's the name of the game. Got to think of it.
What the fuck is his name? Tom Cruise is exact.
No, nothing. It's a name. Just throw out a couple of names. A first name and a last name.
Oh man.
Never done time limits on this game ever. I'm so generous.
I got nothing. Yeah, I can't think of it.
Jerry Maguire. Show me the money. Ghost.
All right, pay the ghost, pay Jerry. So, Amy, you got to get 3 out of 5 to win.
I feel like Drew was being nice to me, and he really knew that.
That was
awful. He knew
it. I did. He really knew it,
but he didn't want to make me feel bad because I'm not going to know any of mine.
All right, we'll see. Let's find out. You ready? Number one, an FBI agent infiltrates the New York Mafia.
Oh, hold on. Wait a second.
Do you know this one?
Johnny Depp.
Drew knows
and
it.
It's
exactly.
Just give me a second. just give
Welcome to my world.
Just give me a second. Oh, why can't I think of his name? It's a Johnny Depp movie, you idiot. Close my eyes and see John Leguizamo. Benny Blanco. Why can't I think of his name?
It's right there.
It's right there. It is. I know it. Hold on, wait. Donnie Brasco.
That's there correct.
Thank you.
Number two.
Thank you, brain.
A nerdy high school kid helps his friend run for class president.
Napoleon Dynamite.
That's correct. Number three. A flight attendant who helps bring down an LA gun dealer. Ooh. Drew knows it.
Karen Black. No, I don't know.
So close, Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
So close. All right, here we go. Number four. A deformed weirdo gives haircuts and does landscaping and ice sculptures.
Edward Scissorhands.
That's correct.
Another Johnny Depp.
And number five. A dead musician comes back as a magical snowman.
A dead musician comes back as a magical snowman?
Do you know this, Drew? No.
A magical Jack Frost?
That's correct.
There you go.
Congratulations, Amy.
Oh my gosh, I won.
You are the winner. You are the winner.
Good job.
I would like to thank... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to get into that.
That knocks Drew to 1-1. You're 500 for the year, buddy.
Not bad.
You're doing horrible. Hey, last year, the guy was... finished year 19-7 last
Whatever
year.
The game was last time I lost, so I feel redeemed.
Yes, but it was the Etchy also.
I was waiting for Dolores Claiborne. Like, I was going through all of my name movies in my head.
So was I. So I didn't get any of them.
There are so many.
I'm so happy that I got Donnie Brasco.
when you look it up, movies named after, like, characters, the list is so long. It's like, and it's like, sometimes it's so bland.
Yeah.
It's like...
I was waiting for Johnny Dangerously.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
That would have been a good one.
I was waiting for Rob Roy.
Michael Collins. Or that's the most boring one. Michael Collins. Sounds like...
Ty Cobb.
Gonna go visit your uncle. Ty Cobb. What? The baseball player.
Then so boring.
It's a better name. Time After Time.
Love Time After Time. Yeah. I think... Who was in it? Amy? Who played opposite him? Who was it? No, her name was Amy.
I can't remember.
It was great, though. I enjoyed that movie.
It's a wild movie. It's a crazy movie. Obviously, everyone likes Back to the Future.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's a...
It's a given.
It's a classic time travel.
Sam, it's funny you should mention time travel movies because last week she asked us about Primer, mm-hmm. which is a time travel movie that's on Netflix, and then last week you mentioned Time Crimes.
Yes, another great time travel
movie. Time Crimes is a very cool Spanish time travel movie from like 2000, I don't know, 6, 2007, something like that. Mm-hmm. Totally worth checking out. I think it's online somewhere, actually. I think it may be on Crackle or Hulu or something like that. It's available, pretty readily available for people to check out. Terminator was a time travel movie.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Because the robots travel through time. Backwards.
Change the future.
It's good. So that's the... yeah. Well, you can't, though. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can.
But you can't.
Mm-hmm. Man, they make a lot of time travel movies, actually.
Yeah, they do.
And a lot of them are quite popular.
Yeah.
But they're all... I mean, it's fun. Time travel is fun.
It is.
Looper is a recent one. Looper was really a good one.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Edge of Tomorrow. That's a fun one.
That's a time travel movie.
That's like a Groundhog Day style time travel movie. Keep going back to the same point.
I have to keep
point.
Fixing this.
Yeah. That's a fun movie, man. I really enjoy that one.
The Fountain is a time travel movie. Through eons.
It's not so. It takes place over 3 time periods, but the
Conquistador is not him.
Yeah, that's a written story.
But the second and third
Army of Darkness
are the same.
That is
that's my favorite time travel movie. I just came up with it. That is my that's like my favorite movie.
Is that time travel or is that dimensional travel?
No, he goes back in time.
Okay.
At this point in time, we really can't tell the two apart.
No, that's so true.
He goes back in time.
That's true. Yeah. But and then he opens up the Book of the Dead, and that's why the skeleton arm comes out.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, just making sure.
That's my favorite time travel movie.
But I guess time is a dimension, so yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's Army of Darkness is a great one. So now watch a damn show. Yeah, Interstellar is very on its face about time travel in the most like in the most direct way possible. The effects of time travel in time, the relativity. You know what? Let me drink a little bit
drink
more.
Some beer. Have some beer. Why don't you? Yep. I will too.
It's that OBP square. Everyone take an OBP break.
Cheers to everybody. Right, I didn't realize we were all drinking.
We're all drinking OBP. All
right.
I think I had a little bit of bacon donuts stuck in my throat there, too. Lodged it. Dislodged.
Those are for after the show, not the break.
I know. I couldn't resist. I had to jump into one of them. Yeah, that you had a red velvet donut. Aren't those good?
Yeah, they are. They're awesome.
Like nice and heavy. And
donuts
like,
are just amazing.
Well, I mean.
I'm a donut slut, Chris. I really am.
Then was the quality of that donut wasted on you, though?
No.
See?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, those are quality donuts. Those like aren't just donuts.
It's not like the Dunkin' Dunkin'.
Those are like worth it donuts.
It's the Donut King. I mean, there's a reason it's called the Donut King.
It's true. It is true.
Exactly. You wouldn't call yourself the Sandwich King if you didn't believe in your sandwiches, would you?
Damn straight.
Or the Empanada King. What are we doing that?
Sometime. I mean, there's already an empanada truck out there. Nothing's any good. I've had it, but whatever.
Exactly. That's why we got to do the Empanada King. Yeah. Because we're going to be good.
Yep.
Right.
Your face all giant and neon.
And as you know well and good, I have no problem with plastering my face on things.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. I've kind of discovered this about myself in recent years.
Yes.
didn't think I had the egotistical capacity for such an act, but yet here we are, listening to Cinema Crespity. So, time travel movies are fun. Time crimes. I'm going to piggyback on Drew's answer from last week. I feel like more people should watch Time Crimes.
It's so fun.
It's good. Army of Darkness, awesome too. Time after time. I don't know if people talk about it.
No, that's an oldie but a goodie.
There's also that one where Christopher Reeve, does he go back in time?
That's called...
Like Somewhere in Time?
Wait, that's the one with the... Somewhere in Time. That's the one with the pennies. Yeah. I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes back to like 60 or 70 years prior or something like that. Seduces some lady.
Classic Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Well, not flying Christopher Reeve.
Not flying. Walking.
But walking.
But walking.
Yes. And alive because he's not alive.
That's true.
Rest in peace.
Way to bring it down.
Rest in peace, Superman.
Kneel before Zod.
What's next?
I have to bring it back up. Paul
Hine got at us.
What's up, Paul?
Here's some Marvel movie news.
Nice.
Ryan Coogler is set to direct the Black Panther movie. Good job, Marvel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. James Gunn announced Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will shoot in super res 8K. Thoughts on full digital versus using film?
Okay, well, first, Ryan Coogler directing Black Panther. Ryan Coogler is the young fella who did Creed. Mm-hmm. And before that, he did Fruitvale Station with Michael B. Jordan, which now makes you wonder, is he going to find a role for Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Obviously not Black Panther, because that role has been cast.
Yes.
Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. the guy who was Jackie Robinson.
Yes.
And James Brown.
Yes.
Two very different characters.
Yes.
Played them both great.
Yeah.
The guy's good. Chadwick. Did you ever see that James Brown movie, Get On Up?
No. It's I would good. Love that, though.
It's
I would love that.
It's good for the music and for watching this guy play James Brown. He
does it very well.
He does a great job, and he plays him like a span of like 40 years, so he gets to play different types of James Browns, you know? Especially like the old shotgun-wielding crazy James Brown. That's the fun James Brown, you know?
Mugshot James Brown.
Yeah. Like, oh, this James, this guy's crazy. He's really good at that. He's Black Panther. So I'm looking forward to the Black Panther movie because I think it's a cool character and he's good casting for that. Ryan Coogler, I mean, Creed is so good. I'm looking forward to seeing what this guy does with a big budget.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, his version of an action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a good job for him. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You see that one, Guardians of the Galaxy?
I did.
It's a fun movie. A
couple of times.
Yeah, it's good.
I enjoyed it.
They're working on the second one.
I'll see it.
Supposed to come out 2017, so next year. And I have read a little bit about this, about James Gunn. He's working with a new camera.
Super high-res 8K.
It's an 8K. 4K is like was the most recent,
jump in technology.
Right, so now it's 8K. And he did a little, you know, had a couple quotes from him about how, you know, he appreciates film, he likes film, and he's seen these movies that come out like Hateful Eight and stuff that's shot on film and it's all beautiful. But he feels like there's still a lot that could be done with digital that, while it may not look like film, he feels that cameras like this can get more detail than film can, and it can have a certain look that's it's different from film but still its own thing. And he's all in on pushing digital forward and trying to make that, you know, help make that the new standard and try to make that look as good as possible. He appreciates film, but he's not going to be a film fetishist, which I can appreciate.
I go both ways.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm interested in new technology, but film is film.
Exactly.
It looks a certain way and it's beautiful. And
I appreciate Nolan and Tarantino trying to make film last longer and being like adamant about shooting their movies on film.
It looks a certain way. I think it's just, look, it goes back to I could use my Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, which that looks like it was shot on like Super 8.
Yes,
with somebody's.
And you don't want to see something like that shot with like crystal clear, high definition video.
Because it really brings you into the environment.
It makes
that
it feel real.
In.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Watching that movie now, it feels more and more like something horrible that you stumbled across,
right,
as opposed to
a
movie
exactly.
that someone produced.
It looks like found footage almost.
Yes, in a way that actual found footage movies can't even replicate.
Right.
Because they try so hard. It's pretty amazing how something like that happens.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is my base for everything. I compare everything to that.
That's a fine baseline. I can see where you're coming from now. Now more things make sense. In the same way, though, film, digital can still look great. David Fincher's movies, he's been shooting on digital now for a while, and his movies all look gorgeous.
It's crazy to see what they can do,
how
far they can push it. So the technology still.
The Revenant was shot on digital. That's something where, like, if they shot on film, it would have been even harder to get that equipment out there.
How could they have done The Bear?
Right, exactly. Or the long takes and the way they stitched things together. But they were still able to use all natural lighting. And you can get shots of the moon and the clouds and the trees lit by campfires. And
so gorgeous.
And you can still see it and it looks great and it's full of detail. That's, you know, because you have a top-notch cinematographer there working, Emmanuel Lubezki. A random guy off the street can't pick up the same camera and get the same images, you know, because you got to know what you're doing and how to use the camera and all that stuff and the right time of day, et cetera, et cetera. So the possibility is there with digital. People need to be able to push it and figure it out. Until then, we're going to get a lot of crappy looking digital movies.
Yeah.
While people are figuring
the effects, like you can see it you can see the difference even when you're watching something like The Walking Dead. You can see the CGI blood versus the practical.
All the time.
In a second. In a second.
All the time. It's like as soon as it comes spurting out, like if you're watching a Tarantino movie, like you know none of that's fake blood.
No.
I mean, like, it's fake blood, but it's not digital blood.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
That's why it's good. It looks like The Thing.
Yeah, it's amazing looking to see like all this stuff spurting out. Like, oh, that looks intense and visceral as opposed to something where
it's really guts.
Yeah, and then you see like the fake
it's actual viscera.
Then you see the fake blood, the CG blood in the air, and then it's like it disappears because it's not real and it's like so shiny and stupid.
It's the zombie eating the entrails in the basement of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
It's like real pig entrails.
Yeah, they're eating or like raw pieces of chicken or something. I don't know how those people didn't get sick. Some of them had
they probably did.
Sick. Yeah. For
worth
their,
it.
For the
so
love.
Worth it. We'd do it tomorrow. Just saying, George Romero. We'll do it tomorrow.
And then people, independent filmmakers, remember to always make sure when you send out your movie for distribution, make sure that copyright seal is on there. Because he put out his movie without the copyright seal and it immediately went into public domain. Yeah. So if we wanted to right now, we could like print copies of Night of the Living Dead on DVD and sell them.
Sweet.
And be totally legal.
We should get on that.
That's why there's so many bad copies of it on DVD. So copyright's important, kids. Remember that. Marvel movie news from Paul. Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
We appreciate it.
Ron out in Colorado gets at us.
Ron in Colorado.
Surf Ninjas or Three Ninjas.
Oh.
Both have their merits. It's hard for me to choose.
They both do have their merits. One has ninjas, and another one has ninjas.
As kids.
Both of them as kids.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
One of them, they're surfing.
The other one, they're not.
They're not.
But I think they made more of the Three Ninjas movies than they did the Surf Ninjas movies.
One of them had Hulk Hogan and took place at a theme park.
Which one had Hulk Hogan?
Three Ninjas.
Then that one gets my vote.
That is a surfing. They were like, the surfing one has Ernie Reyes Jr.
No, yes, I'm a Hulkamaniac.
Oh, yeah. Hulkamania was running wild during that time.
I'm old.
That's for sure. I had a Hulk Hogan alarm clock that when it would.
That's code for I'm older than these guys.
No, I had a Hulk Hogan alarm clock that when it went off in the morning, it would be Hulk Hogan yelling at you. It's like, time to get up, Hulkamaniac. Like, say your prayers, eat your vitamins. And what was the third thing?
Beat up other guys.
Beat up other guys and be racist towards black people, brother.
Yes.
Because apparently it's a little racist, which kind of sucks. Because I love Hulk Hogan, but then it's like.
I saw him at MegaCon. He looked good.
Did he?
Yeah.
He had his bandana.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, poor guy.
In
his hair.
No, he looked good.
I was.
Sorry, nobody recognized my They Live masks. You're all posers.
Oh, they're the worst. Those people are the worst. I was in a neighborhood at a friend's house back in like 04, and we went out front, and up the road, someone was getting evicted or had been evicted, so all their personal belongings were in the driveway. In the front lawn, so we wandered over there. We're poking through this person's shit to see what we can take, and the only thing I took was a paperback copy of Hulk Hogan's autobiography.
Nice.
Which I have since read like 5 times. It's a great
pick.
It's a great read. It's actually really good to read. He talks about doing Suburban Commando with Christopher Lloyd, and how this was right when Christopher Lloyd was getting a divorce. So he was going a little crazy, a little emotionally crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So every night after shooting, he would go out with Christopher Lloyd to whatever main drag had all the bars. And he would just walk up and down the street going to all the bars, like smoking whatever people were handing to him and drinking and carousing and having a good time. And Hulk Hogan was like, man, this guy's going crazy. But then he showed up every day and filmed that wonderful movie, Suburban Commando. Classic.
What a pro.
People can't stop talking about Suburban Commando when they talk about Christopher Lloyd.
I think you're the only one, Chris.
I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this show haven't thought about Suburban Commando in years. If they've even heard of it at all. It's more of a Mr. Nanny crowd out there. So, yeah. I guess we're going Three Ninjas because of the Hulk Hogan thing.
Three Ninjas.
Ernie Reyes Jr. is cool.
Also, but ninjas don't belong in surf. I have to just say that right out there.
I feel like they could have just been three surfers.
They're
like,
not, yeah.
That's already enough.
But they were ninjas, too.
But they were ninjas on top of the surfing? Yeah. Did they ever do any surfing and ninja fighting at the same time?
Point Break.
Oh, man. The remake of Point Break.
Bombing so bad.
Good. Good.
People hate it.
God, that makes me so happy.
Which is awesome. I actually want to watch it now to see how bad it is.
Isn't that
really
terrible?
Bad, apparently.
Yeah.
I was hoping for the failure.
No, it's okay. It's totally okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just so glad that that's
I think everyone was. I think we're all relieved together that we rejected it as a society. Like, none of us are falling for this.
I am an FBI agent.
Seriously. Like, we had Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. They're going to give us Edgar Ramirez and...
This guy.
And this guy.
This guy. Like, not this guy.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Like, what is a Luke Bracey? Is that a thing?
I have no idea.
Let's see. Three ninjas I went to. Thanks, Ron.
All right. On Twitter, Rage Against Twit got at us
Rage
twice.
Rage Against Twit.
He's got a Hateful Eight review for us.
Twice the Twit.
Fine addition to the Pantheon. Music on point as always. Classic Tarantino styling with comedy. Very play-like.
It is very play-like. I don't think we mentioned that, actually.
Seen that instead of The Revenant.
You still got time to see it? It is, since it's all in like one location. Most of it's in one location, and it's a lot of talking, obviously. And it has an Agatha Christie, 10 Little Indians mystery vibe to it. It's very much like a stage play.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they did one of the reasons why, because he wasn't going to do the movie after the script leaked, and then they did a live reading with the whole, like, the cast got together, and they read in front of a bunch of people, and it went so well that he's like, you know what, I can totally do this. And then he's also even thought about
turning it into a play,
finding a way to do it as a stage production. Maybe not necessarily directing himself, but using that as a way to get into stage directing, because he wants to start doing that. Yeah. He's only going to direct 2 more movies, is the plan. 2 more movies, and then he wants to get into more writing novels and reviews and books and stuff like that, as well as plays and directing theater. He wants to try a whole bunch of other things with the twilight of his life, so to speak.
Gotcha.
I mean, he's not that old, but...
I think he's my age.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like he's talking, but that's the thing. Because he's saying,
somebody
like...
Google that. How old is he?
I think he's
my age. He's not that
old. I don't think so. I think he may be 50. He may be around...
That is older than me.
Yeah, he may be around 50. I'm not even saying
Thank
that...
God.
Especially for his purposes, that's not That's not old, but he's like, old people shouldn't be directing. I feel like directing is a young man's game. But then I'm like, but Scorsese just did Wolf of Wall Street at the age of like 73. And that's an insane movie. It's so good. Like Tarantino, you could keep doing this if you wanted to.
Yeah.
This whole like, I don't want to be an old man director. Like Sidney Lumet was making movies until he was 83.
How old was Hitchcock?
60s?
He just looked bad.
Oh, he looked horrible.
He looked awful.
He looked like an old...
Orson Welles.
He looked like an old... That Orson Welles, too. I mean, even when he was in his early 20s, he was tall and skinny. And then he got so fat so quick and lost his hair. And then he was an old fat man for a very, very long time. You ever see that on YouTube? If you look up Orson Welles' wine commercial?
Oh, are you talking about from The Critic? I used to love when the guy from Pinky and the Brain used to do him. Maurice LaMarche does the...
Well, they would always do Orson Welles'
Rosebud voices. Frozen Peas.
Yeah.
I used to love that bit.
No, but
I love those bits.
There's he was so good. He was doing a wine commercial or a champagne commercial, and he's just sitting at a desk, and there's two young people. He's like, the conceit is that he's at a party, and he's like, oh, this is the finest of wines or whatever. But he's so drunk.
Right, it's like take 87.
Yeah, and he's like, like he can barely get through it. It's kind of sad, but also kind of hysterical. Because it's Orson Welles.
It's fun.
And then he did a voice of a planet in the Transformers movie,
mm-hmm.
and then he died. So that's the life story of Orson Welles right there. He did a wine commercial using Transformers.
The lack of respect is staggering here on Cinema Christmas today.
What's Orson going to do about it?
More calling Orson.
So he liked Kate Foyt. That's cool. It is very play-like, for sure. Did he have another review?
Oh, yeah. He has a remnant review haiku.
Nice. Love review haikus.
Badass CG bear. Treacherous drudge through the snow. Who's the real savage?
Ah. Ooh, that is a question.
That was better than the movie. No, I'm just kidding. But it was really good. I like that.
I love a good review haiku. It forces you to condense what you're really feeling.
I love that.
Into just
that was really good.
Limited space.
Truly.
Nice.
No irony.
Nicely done. We like it. Is that it for the Vox Populi segment there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see what movie news stories are worth bringing up. Like I mentioned, we were going to tease a little bit of Adam Sandler. This is weird. I don't even know if I can believe this or what. Why would they even say it? Netflix announced that the Adam Sandler movie, The Ridiculous Six, they said, quote, this is the chief content officer, Ted Sarandos, at CES 2016 in Vegas. He said, The Ridiculous Six, by way of example, in the first 30 days on Netflix, it's been the most watched movie in the history of Netflix.
No.
So awful.
That's what the chief content officer is saying.
He's lying.
It has to be a lie. No way that many people watch
it. Or people hate watching it? You gotta watch it to know how to hate it?
Is it that bad?
Apparently, is that the buzz?
So everybody's like, I gotta see it.
Maybe it's an autoplay thing. Does it autoplay on certain devices by accident when you pull it up and then that counts as a play?
The second it opens, it counts as a play. Right. Oh, I didn't mean to hit that. I wanted Bad Santa.
That's what Facebook does. Facebook, all the videos are automatically set to autoplay. So when you're scrolling through your feed, they start playing. Even for a second, they count that. And Facebook, then they go to their... The advertisers are like, look at how many plays our videos get. It could be something like that. But still, the gall of them to make such a shit movie and then be like, it's our most popular film.
Awful.
I haven't seen it, but I'd bet that it was terrible.
That's the thing. I don't know anyone personally who's seen it.
No.
Maybe Matt from SBK Live.
Maybe.
He likes to watch stuff like that.
Yeah, he does.
So that's why they have a deal with Adam Sandler to begin with. Because they have like a 4 or 6 film deal with him to produce bunch of his next
movies
and put them all out on Netflix.
No.
We've had a couple of up and down stories with Sylvester Stallone and Rambo recently. First, someone was saying that they were going to do a Rambo TV show with Sylvester Stallone.
And he was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah, a week later, Stallone's official reps were like, we don't know what you're talking about. And then that deal died. For years now, he's been trying to make a Rambo 5. He's had different ideas. One of them was going to be
Trying to get medical coverage.
That would be interesting. I would see that.
I'm dying of cancer. I have a pre-existing condition.
It should be him like waiting at a VA lobby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it takes him 4 hours. Like,
just to see someone.
Just to see someone. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, to set an appointment. And then at the end, they're like, we have an appointment for you in 6 months. It's like, He had one where the idea was him. He floated out ideas. One was Rambo versus the Mexican drug cartel. Another one was Rambo was like Rambo versus some sort of mutated monster in the woods.
Okay.
Rambo
versus Bigfoot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rambo versus the ghost of Bigfoot. I would see that.
Night vision.
With night vision.
Hashtag night vision goggles.
But now he has officially come out, Sylvester Stallone, and said he is done trying to figure out the next Rambo movie. It's over. No more John Rambo for him.
That's good. Fine. Yeah, that's I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
good,
so am I.
Good decision, Sly.
For once, good decision. He says here, you know, when you realize there's nothing more to pull out as an action film, I was very satisfied that it dealt with the Burmese situation. Talking about the last Rambo movie.
We kill the brown people.
Yep. It had one foot in a current event, the longest civil war in history, 65 years at that time. It was so brutal, which civil war is. I was shocked. They even gave me an R rating. I didn't want to compromise. I said, this is probably going to be the last decent film of this genre that I'm going to do as a solo act. Because he's still doing all the Expendables movies.
Yeah.
When that was accomplished, I never felt the same willingness to do it again. There's nothing left. When they asked me to do another Rambo, I said, if I can't do it better than I did last time, and I can't, then why? For once.
Yeah.
For once, someone's like, I'm not just going to try to make a quick buck out of this. I actually have some artistic integrity, even with something that has become so cartoonish and ridiculous as the character of John Rambo.
I'm going to go back to Chappelle and go, he made Rock.
Rocky's so good, and he's so good as that character.
You gotta try to remember that when you look at the pantheon.
As a matter of fact, don't be surprised now when the Oscars come around in February. He's nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah,
for Rocky Balboa.
Creed.
People are for Creed. Yeah, people are talking about that now.
It's good.
I need to see that.
People like him a lot. Obviously, it's a very.
I'm loving that they're trotting out all the old Rockies because Creed is out right now.
Yeah.
Rocky 3 the other day was great.
Rockies 1 through 5 are on Netflix. Mm-hmm. For some reason, Rocky Balboa is not on there. It must be a distribution thing or something. Well, and Rocky Balboa is like my second or third favorite Rocky movie. And I'm still trying to figure out where Creed sits for me for Rocky movies, but it's there close to the top for sure.
Nice.
Yeah,
I have to go see that.
It's really good. Really, really well done. So Stallone done with Rambo. That's cool. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Mm.
All right. This was my age range.
Yeah, I was just going to say, now I'm out of the loop. No, I was old already. You guys were watching.
I was totally in the 80s, like watching the cartoon. My parents got me a ton of the toys. They've been making the movies and the cartoon show since the 80s, you know, different versions. So now we have
varying quality.
Oh, varying quality, exactly.
Go, Ninja, go.
The Ninja Rap, yeah. Vanilla Ice's greatest contribution
to
society.
Yeah, you can't not go there.
So they came out with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie a couple years ago.
Which was awful.
Same summer as Guardians of the Galaxy, as a matter of fact.
I like the old rubber suits.
So great. The Stan Winston suits were amazing.
I like the old suits.
I do not like the new CG version of the characters. I think it looks goofy. But that's made a ton of money, so they're doing another one just
although
like
I
that.
Although I don't know that TMNT. That
the
was
animated
a good
one. The animated one.
That was a good one.
From like 2005, 2006. Yeah.
That was a good
that's
one.
A good movie.
That was the only good
but
one.
But it was also an animated movie. And
yeah,
it didn't
yeah
make
that's
enough
different.
Money.
But
yeah.
I'd be get away with it, man.
So they're doing this one now, the sequel to the last one. And the new trailer that came out shows that they have Rocksteady and Bebop, which are two popular characters from the cartoon that didn't make it into the last movie.
Yep.
And those are the giant warthog and the giant rhino.
Yep.
People that are mutated into these characters, right? So, as a fan of the cartoon, this is the first time in movie form we're going to get to see these characters. So I'm actually, as much as I didn't like the last movie.
So where's Krang?
I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it because now we're starting to get Rocksteady Bebop. And because Rocksteady Bebop, people have been asking, where's Krang?
Yeah.
Krang is...
Where's the Technodrome?
For people who don't know, Krang is a brain. With a face.
With wiggly arms.
And wiggly tentacle arms. And he's inside the stomach of a giant robot that he controls, right?
Yeah.
And he's from Dimension X.
Correct.
And Dimension X, he travels through Dimension X in this giant spherical
Thing
on wheels.
With a giant eye on top.
With an eyeball satellite thing on top called the Technodrome.
Correct.
Which is a great name for anything.
Sounds very Cronenberg.
It does it, right?
Yes,
you,
it does.
You would think the people who created it were like,
sure does.
This is a Videodrome. Yes. Shout out for sure. The
it
Technodrome.
Is. Exactly.
Or just like a
It sounds body horror-esque.
It's like video.
It sounds
well, especially
like
with the brain inside the robot. Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Totally.
And it's coming from another dimension and stuff.
I'll pull it in wherever I can.
now they're saying Krang is indeed going to be in this new Turtles movie coming out this summer. The Technodrome is going to be in the movie.
All
of this crazy, big, weird sci-fi stuff. They're finally doing it. And that's, as an adult, it's what I've been wanting from anything Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
related. Yeah.
Because it's weird. I mean, already.
So weird.
Already the characters, they're turtles who are mutants and they're teenagers and they're ninjas. That's a lot going on just for those characters. And then they're fighting all sorts of crazy villains from other dimensions, rock creatures and transformed animals and Krang and the Technodrome. It's all so
good. Don't forget about Shredder.
Well, Shredder's the one thing that they have been doing over and over.
Yeah.
And now I'm bored with Shredder because it's just the same thing over and over. It's just a dude with blades.
Yep.
Whoop-de-doo.
He's the Shredder.
I want the brain guy in the robot suit and the and the giant thing from the another dimension.
I will always go brain guy in robot suit every time.
Doesn't that sound weird?
You had me at robot suit.
That sounds so
cool.
You
didn't even have to. The brain just sweetens the pot.
Little brain there is like, man, look at your turtles. You know?
Yeah.
So if that stuff's going to be in this movie.
It's a little Total Recall. It's a little Doctor Who. There's something in there.
And now because of that, I'm there opening weekend with very low expectations, but I am there.
Yeah.
I am there.
Very low expectations.
Tales from the Crypt. We're all fans.
Yes. Oh, come on.
It's good stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Are you happy that they're bringing it back?
Depends
on the quality.
Depends on the quality. Well,
I'm happy to watch it. It's not anything that I think needs to be dead as long as they do it right.
Anthology horror. No reason why we can't do that every week. A different little story every week, right?
Exactly.
TNT is rolling out a 2-hour block of TV horror. And anchoring that 2-hour block will be a new episode of Tales from the Crypt every week.
Wow. Okay.
Tales from the Crypt to be executive produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, now I'm...
Now you gotta be questioning it a little bit. I have thought for years.
I hate feeling this way because I do like some of his stuff.
Some of his stuff is good.
And I wanna like his stuff.
The Visit wasn't too bad. That just came out recently. I've always thought for a while Shyamalan, his sensibility would work great
Drew's
for a TV
that
show.
Lion noise again.
It's like, yeah, it's not good.
Ooh, Shyamalan. I've always thought he'd be good for a Twilight Zone style show, right?
I don't know.
He's doing, and he's going to direct the pilot. So he's only directing one episode, and then after that, it's just producing it. So it's going to be written and directed by other people, like your typical anthology show.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's the way it should be because it mixes it up.
So I'm going to go in and have a little bit of faith in Shyamalan being able to shepherd this thing into something cool. Especially since it's on TNT, they're not going to have the same leeway as when it was on HBO.
Right.
It's not going to have the same amount of R-rated content.
Please tell me they're bringing back the Crypt Keeper.
Now I got some bad news. Oh. This is really the bad news. It does appear that the Crypt Keeper will be MIA.
Which is a bummer. That automatically 1.5-star demotion right out of the gate.
I feel the same way.
Right out of the gate, you are starting with, what is that? I suck at math. 3.5 stars? Well, I don't even know.
Depends on how many stars you're starting with. Five, 10, 6? Yeah. 7.5 stars?
Yeah, 4.5. 3.5. I don't know. You started with a B, jerks.
I agree. I think it's a bummer that the Crypt Keeper is not going to be involved because that's
the coolest
part. That's the most fun part.
That whole they should bring back music aspect. Danny Elfman music, all of that. Yes.
And he was so puntastic.
Yes. I'm a Crypt Keeper fan. You guys, that's a bad call.
Yeah, so that's a bummer. So we'll see.
Oh, well.
We'll see. I am interested in this.
I'll watch it, though, but that's a bad call.
I'm interested in this 2-hour block of horror programming overall, because it's one thing it's going to be...
Old or new?
It's all new stuff, so it's going to be Tales from the Crypt, I guess probably a half hour, and then probably 3 other half hour things. And they said it's going to be, like, one thing will be, like, straight horror, one thing will be more maybe horror comedy. They're going to try to mix it up a little bit, you know.
Little Ash versus the Evil Dead type programming.
Like, we're just still going to watch that damn show.
Oh,
yeah, we do.
It was fun. Definitely.
Talk about being behind. Definitely behind on that. Let me see, what are we doing? What's going on? I guess that's good.
That is a cornucopia of practical effects deliciousness going on that show.
Drew, you got to get on it, Drew.
Got to get on it.
I mean, you got to get on it, actually.
I do.
Because you're the guy. Okay, end of the show means it's time for the lightning round.
Uh-oh.
So we got the lightning round intro. Play that right here.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers.
I'm going to try.
All right, Drew.
At least I won the other thing.
Yes. Oh, you'll win this one, too. Unless you lose.
Everybody wins this. You can't lose the lightning round.
Oh, no, Angel almost lost. He was so slow. So slow. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, Elvis Presley or the Beatles?
Beatles.
Number two, would you like cream or sugar in your coffee?
Cream. No, actually, no, black. I'll take it black.
Number three, have you ever won a trophy?
No, I don't think I have.
Number
How
four.
Sad.
Aw, number four. What is the prettiest city you have ever been to?
Quebec City, maybe.
All right. Number five, what magazine do you look for when you are in a waiting room?
I look at my phone. It's so sad.
Number six, which celebrity irritates you the most?
Oh, God. Jeez. This is too... It's taking me too long. So many are so irritating.
So many. You have so many to choose from.
I don't know. Just pick one who has an opinion about something they're not an expert in.
Any one of those. That's all of them.
Any one of those. Medicine, politics. Shut up and act.
That's all of them. Number seven. What is your least favorite holiday?
Arbor Day, because I hate trees. No, I'm just kidding. I want to pave the world. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. That's so not me. My least favorite holiday. I don't know. I hated the Columbus. I don't know.
That's a good one, Nate, on, if you ask me. Number nine. Is that number nine? No, number eight. Number eight. If you could be a pro athlete, what sport would you play?
Hockey.
All right.
I kick people's ass.
Sure.
Knock their teeth out.
Number nine. Would you rather visit 100 years in the past or 100 years in the future?
Future.
Future.
I've read about the past. Let's see what's ahead. Yeah. I want to win the lottery.
We know what happens back there. And number 10. Rank them from best to worst. Pizza, puppies, or the concept of pleasantness.
Oh, that's, you just said it. Pizza's number one, puppies are two, and pleasantness
number
three.
All right, there we go. That was your lightning round. Thank you so much.
Time for re-answer. Curling is my sport.
Curling? Oh, curling. You could do curling right now, right? There's no, just gotta know how to skate. Do you even use skates, or do they have like weird?
No, you don't even need, you gotta have the brooms.
They got the brooms, put on their feet.
Yeah, no, I could do that. I'd want to use like the, I would want to wear like one of those cloaks, like a Harry Potter, and use like one of those brooms, like a
Quidditch broom.
Like a Quidditch broom.
But
so
I'm asking,
be like geeky.
Do they have like feet with like shoes with rubber things on the bottom to keep?
It's
from...
not skates. I don't know what they wear.
Yeah, it's not skates. It's not so skates. Something else.
Ice fishing would be another fun one.
Ice fishing.
The luge.
The luge is dangerous.
Yeah, but that would be fun.
Yeah, but it's dangerous though. People die doing that.
They do.
They have. No one's died ice fishing.
Probably a lot.
No one's died curling. There we go.
Probably a lot, actually.
No.
Yeah.
How?
Back in the day, gotta curl on the ice. What happens when the ice breaks and everybody dies?
Oh. Swag bag time. Drew, grab the swag bag.
Strongest man alive. I want to pull the truck with my teeth.
Yeah. Oh, no. The thing where you get the boulders, you got to put the boulders on the higher pedestals, and the boulders keep getting bigger.
Yeah.
We got four bags here. Choose one of the four bags, please, and then Drew will break them out and let you know what you may get to go home with today.
I'm going to go with that
one. All right. Here we go, Drew. What we got in there?
All right.
Can I get another dog toy?
We have...
Oh, look, $11
million.
We have
a Star Wars 4 puzzle pack, part of billions of dollars at Disney.
Nice.
Are getting.
Star Wars.
Jokes and gags, squirt gum.
Give someone a piece of gum, but then squirt them in the face.
We've got some bacon-flavored lip balm. I'm not sure what that actually tastes like.
It tastes like bacon, yo.
I highly doubt that. We have a Marvel 500 action figure of sorts.
It's a mystery. You have to open it up to find out what the mystery is.
And Crespo Niso bootleg copies of The Perfect Storm and Rockstar, both... With Marky Mark?
What? Is that a fucking...
Right? It's a Marky Mark 2-pack?
Is that a fucking Marky Mark 2-pack?
It's a Marky Mark 2-pack.
I love that you guys call him Marky Mark because I'll never, ever, ever not call him Marky Mark. Ever.
He's always Marky Mark.
Yeah.
That's right.
Feel it.
That's right. Come on. Feel the vibrations,
you
people.
You got a couple of good movies there. One of them, I'm in the water.
One of them, he's running away from trees.
One of them, running away from trees. What was the other one? It was Perfect Storm and what?
Perfect Storm and Rockstar.
And you were one of a fucking rockstar. And then I think I had sex with a transsexual. That was back when that could have been the...
That's right.
Okay, joke.
Oh my God, that's right. I remember that movie.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now I'm disgusted with myself. Oh, as a straight heterosexual male. So you can take all that wonderful stuff on and stickers and all that, or you can take in the box that Drewster Cockburn has right here.
I went to the box last time, and there's so much good stuff for my kids in that other bag.
Yeah, you got a whole bag full of stuff.
I'm so tempted by the box.
What you get in the last time the box was the steak?
Yeah, my dogs destroyed that in 5 seconds.
Of course they, because that was from a dollar store. So. Yeah.
No.
Decisions.
I'm going to keep the bag.
Keep in the bag. Congratulations.
Is that the first time?
In a long time.
That's the first time.
In a long time.
I'm keeping the bag.
Wise decision, Amy.
What was in the box?
We'll show you after. We don't want to say it. We're not going to. Oh, we'll show
you're
going to
reuse
afterwards.
That.
You're
going to reuse that for the next person.
Yeah, because it stays in the box until someone takes the box. There was one time when no one took the box for like 3 weeks in a row, all the way in the beginning.
He
wrapped the box up, then since then people keep taking the box. But you took the bag. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think it's a good choice.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us again.
We appreciate it.
This
was so fun.
Yeah, we're going to do it again for sure.
This time with beer.
Yes. Drew, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening at home. Remember to support R-rated movies, break up the big banks, read more books, and be excellent to each other. We'll be back.
And subtitles.
And read subtitles, because they're good for your eyes. We'll be back with episode 158. This weekend, as well as our best of year in review bonus episode will be out this week, so keep your eyes peeled for that. We out of here.